Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. I'm Jason Abrams, and this is the place where we lift the curtain on the world of real estate like never before. Every week, I sit down with visionaries, pirates, and mavericks. We're here to document, demonstrate, and most importantly, demystify their game-changing models and systems. What secrets propel them to the top? And how are they living their dreams? This is about passion, it's about strategy, but above all, it's about real, tangible success. So buckle up and let's dive in. This is the Millionaire Real Estate Agent Podcast. The year is 1973, and I want to take you all the way back. Best picture that year, The Godfather. Who could argue with that? The song on the radio, Let's Get It On by Marvin Gaye. And a bright-eyed, bushy-tailed young Richard Stone is entering the real estate business. Now, if you don't know Richard, you are in for a ride. Richard is the consummate real estate professional who built his entire career knocking on doors 3 to 4 hours a day. Now, before you say, oh my gosh, Jason, that's not for me, let me tell you the punchline. He works about 100 days a year. He takes 21 trips a year. He builds his work time around his play time, and he sells about $100 million worth of real estate a year, all from knocking on doors. You need to hear this story. Friends, this is Richard Stone. Richard, how are you, my friend?
Excellent. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No, it's an honor to have you. Richard, I'm gonna cut to it. You are the second oldest person that we've had on the show.
Fantastic.
Yes, which means you have a story to go along with it. So take me all the way back as far as you can. How did you end up in the real estate industry? And when was that?
I started the real estate industry in 1973, and my mom was in real estate. And before that, I sold encyclopedias door to door. And so there was a company in Denver, Colorado called Van Skock and Company that supposedly hired only people with a lot of experience. Well, I didn't have any experience except knocking on doors. And so back then, floor time was a really big deal.
I got to stop you. I want to go back to the encyclopedia sales door to door. How old were you when you started that?
20 years. I'd just gotten out of the Navy.
Okay. First of all, thank you for your mission. You come out of the Navy. Is that Encyclopedia Britannica?
No. It was, I think it was called Grolier. I forget what it was called. It was a very interesting experience. Teaches you a lot about rejection, a lot of fun.
Well, I want to ask, what'd you learn doing that?
First of all, I learned I didn't want to sell encyclopedias. that was the biggest thing that I learned. It wasn't truthful, for lack of a better word. Okay. It just didn't feel right. Okay. But I was single and there were lots of girls selling encyclopedias. So, you know, what can I say? You know, it was motivation at the time.
Oh, so after that, though, I mean, you could have went into anything. How did you end up choosing real estate and why?
Honestly, my mom was doing it and I thought I could make a bunch of money, you know. And back then, you know, it was all a show. I mean, you would, at Van Skock, everybody had either a Lincoln or a Cadillac, these great big Lincolns or Cadillacs. So in order to work there, you'd have to have a Lincoln. I had a Volkswagen Bug.
By the way, you and Gary Keller, he had a Volkswagen Bug also.
These guys would come to work about 10 o'clock. They'd go and they'd have a lunch at 12 with a title rep and get drunk until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, come back, check their messages, and go home. So between 8 and 10 and from about 3 until 6, all these calls would come in. Nobody was in the office but me. And these gals didn't want to sit, so they'd give me the call. I figured when you're selling encyclopedias, you're supposed to close. So if somebody called me on the phone, they want to buy a house. So I would go, we would show the house and say, you like this house? Great, let's write an offer and we'll put it together and go to the next house. You know, I figured the only reason they called me is they want to buy this house. And so I was into selling that house. And the first, now this is 1973. So 1973, I made $26,000 in 1973. And the average commission was probably about $400.
Wow. I just did the math. So $26,000 in 1973 adjusted is equivalent to $181,722 today. You did that in your first year.
Yeah, I didn't know any better, you know. I found out later on in life, my dad had been at Phil's Petroleum Company as an executive for like 30 years. I found out I made more money than he did.
All right. So where do we go from there?
So I was saying my values weren't in the right spot. And I worked there and was not a good role model. I led a life that I don't lead today. I used to be a big drinker. I haven't drank in 50 years. I did a lot of things that were not great for the overall lifestyle. My idea of prospecting was different than the idea than what I do today. The thing that's really important for me to say here is this. When I was in Denver, I got married. I kind of peed my life away. I wasn't a very good person. I was cared only about me. I was a real selfish individual. I didn't like myself a whole lot. And I was sitting in my home in Denver, Colorado, and I had a disease called Crohn's disease. And so it was really cold. It snowed 10 of the previous 12 months. I was broke, didn't have any money. And I said, I don't want to live like this anymore. So I decided I would move to California. And I said, well, how am I going to get to California? Well, some guy from Wells Fargo took me out to lunch thinking I was a successful real estate agent. Now, this was back in the day when the interest rates, remember, were 18%. Okay. He said to me, we've got this new program. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, you go out and find somebody that wants to assume a loan, like a VA loan. All right. We will make a second up to 80% of the value of that property as long as the owner carries a third for the remainder. So I said, well, that's a good deal. And so what I could do was if I could find the house, I could put together the buyer, and instead of him paying the high interest rates, he'd pay about an equivalent of 10%. So I would go in at night. We had Kohl's directories. I'd go in and go through the Kohl's directories. I'd find people that I knew were renting, and I would call them up, and I would say, hi, this is Richard Stone. If you could buy a home with no money down and it was less than you're paying in rent, would you be interested?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And so after the tax benefits, it was a lot less than the rent, I mean, than what they were paying. So I'd take them out. So I made enough money to leave Denver, Colorado, and come out to San Diego.
Okay.
All right. So I made enough money to get out here, moved all my stuff out, rent a place, and I decided I was going to go into commercial real estate. I was going to be a commercial real estate guy. So I went into commercial real estate. They say you've got to have at least 6 months of money in order to get through the thing. I had the money to get through it, but I got to the fifth month, and I woke up one morning and I was paralyzed.
Literally?
Yep, just literally paralyzed from the middle of my chest down. Couldn't walk, couldn't do anything. And we didn't have cell phones. We had those wall phones. On my elbows, I crawled over to the phone, got the phone, called this person. She came over and got me, took me to the hospital. They couldn't figure out anything. And they said, well, you know, sometimes you tweak your back and things like this happen. And I was, okay, well, yeah. And so I got better after a couple of days. Went back to work for a couple and then woke up and that was really bad. I was so bad that I laid in bed for almost 30 days.
Oh my gosh.
With the best doctors in the world, not having any idea what was wrong with me or how to fix what I had. And so my dad had to come out and live with me. And I was 36 years old at the time. Came out to live with me. And the Crohn's disease, again, no control of your bowels. So they rented a little porta potty by the side of my bed. And I would crawl out every hour on my elbows to the porta potty and back into the bed. And that was my life.
Hey, Richard, I've known you for a long time. And I didn't know any of this. Sounds awful.
Well, it was awful. Yeah. So here I was in this situation. I had one lousy deal in escrow. And I get a phone call from Marcus and Millichap where I was working. And they said, you know, the deal fell apart. I hung up the phone and started to bawl. I mean, I was just crying. Tears were coming out of my eyes. And at that moment, I uttered a fervent prayer. And I said, Heavenly Father, will you just give me a moment of peace? I don't think I can stand this any longer.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, Jason, at that very moment, I looked over and the windowsill at this place I was staying at was over here. And for whatever reason, I'm just telling you, it was as if I was floating at the same level as the windowsill. All the pain was gone. And at that very moment, a thought came into my mind that said, why don't you look into the church again? Now, when I was out in Denver, a couple of missionaries from the Church of Jesus Christ, the Latter-day Saints, taught me the gospel. And I listened and I didn't listen very closely. And I said, okay, maybe I should. So I called up, found out where the church was, and a couple of missionaries came over to my place I was living at. I had to go to the hospital because I was losing all these fluids. And in the hospital, they taught me the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I listened to what they were saying, and they taught me a very principal lesson to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Interestingly, Gary says the same thing in a different way, is that we all live together as spirit children before we came to earth. Then we're basically spirit beings on an earthly journey, right? And so they told me, I said, that makes sense. That makes sense. They asked me if I wanted to be baptized. And I said, yeah, I'd love to as soon as I can bend down enough to get in the water. But right now I can't. I can't do anything. So that night they left. Again, I live in San Diego, and I was at Scripps Hospital, which is over a golf course. And that night there was a full moon looking out across the golf course. And as I looked out across the golf course, I woke up. And I remember these verses that are both in the Matthew, in the New Testament. They're also in the Book of Mormon. And what it says is this. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So I had it backwards. All my life I had it backwards. So I made a conscious decision. I said, I'm going to figure this out. This is what I'm going to do. So they came. The missionaries came back, and for whatever reason, I got better. And I'm talking really good doctors. Nobody could figure out why. I got well enough to get out of the hospital. On November 11th, 1985, I was baptized a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And my life from that point has been up. Eventually, they found that there was a cyst on my colon in my back that was pushing on a nerve that did it. I ended up meeting my wife, and the Crohn's disease was so bad, they said, we got to take out your colon. I'd always been avoiding that. And you remember when Gary talks on stage about the situations he has, and he didn't want to have a bag. Well, I've got one of those bags, and I've had one for 38 years. And I didn't have a choice. I had met my wife at this time. She was pregnant right away. We were all excited. Finally, in my life, I have a chance to have a family. The doctor said, you're never going to see that child if you don't have your colon out. So I said, oh, okay, well, that's probably a good idea. Then I should probably see the child. So they removed my colon. But the interesting thing, Jason, that happened, there's a very famous doctor at Scripps, and his name was Kuster, and he had a strong German accent. And the operation was supposed to be 2 hours. It ended up being 6 hours. And he came out and said to my wife, he said, I have no idea how your husband was alive. He said, there were two holes in my colon. I had two perforations. My entire body cavity was filled with infection. They had no idea, and I should have been dead. Well, from that second forward, I said, I am not wasting another minute of my life, and I am going to be purposeful in everything. And so I progressed in the gospel, progressed in life, embraced principles of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and it's changed my whole life.
It's such a big story, man. Gary once said to me that mortality and death is very difficult to comprehend until it's you that we're talking about. And then it becomes very real, very fast.
Very real, very fast. But then you end up realizing that we're spiritual beings on an earthly journey, which means we're going on. This is just preparation.
I love that. I tell you what, man, we're going to switch gears and talk real estate, but I now understand so much more about the way that you live and the reason you live the way that you do, which we're going to explain at the end of this show, the life you're living today. And now it all makes sense to me. So you're faced with this challenge, though, that we all have, which is, okay, I now want to make a living in the greatest industry in the world.
Yep.
You stumble onto a model that's absolutely incredible to me. Tell me how you got there and then teach me the model.
So what ended up, I didn't know what to do. There was no training. I knew I wanted to go back into residential real estate instead of, I didn't like the people that were in commercial real estate, very honestly, or the people you dealt with. So I said, I can't do this. I said, not with the way I want to live my life. So I said, what should I do? And I remember back in Denver, the people that were successful were the ones that farmed. So I said, that's what I'll do. I'll farm. I had no idea where or how, but there was a book. Tom Hopkins had a book years ago, How to Sell Anything to Anyone, something like that. And he talked about, he had a farm area, and he would go down the street with a drum and a banner, and everybody would know him, and Pied Piper kind of thing. But basically what he would do, it was a non-confrontational kind of selling, and he really controlled this area. I said, okay. And he said, what you should do, he says, pick out your area. He says, write a letter to everyone and tell them you're going to be the expert in that area. You mail out the area. You go to the area. You mail out to the area. You go and knock on the door and say, hi, Mary, did you get my letter? So that's what I did. I wrote out this letter, mimeographed it on, mailed it by hand to everybody. How'd you get my letter? No, well, I'm going to be the expert in this area. And the way I chose the area, Russell Cromwell has a book called Acres of Diamonds. Well, I was driving down I-5, and there was a brand new area called Carmel Valley that was just being developed. And my wife was driving, because I couldn't even drive the car. I was so sick at the time. She said, I said, that's going to be my Acres of Diamonds. So I started off just with a very small farm area. And every night I would knock on door from 5 to 7. My thought was that's the only time people would be home, which is not true. All right. But that's how I would knock on doors. I would say, hi, I'm Richard Stone. I'm going to be the expert in this area. You guys ever thought of making a move? Or I forget what it was. Something like this. Okay. And then finally somebody said yes.
Must have been so good.
That house that I sold for $176,000 to Mr. Liu, who still owns it today, is worth about $1.7 million.
That's so good, man.
and he still owns it. And what's funny about that is I had other complications with other things going on. So when I was in escrow, I had to be back in the hospital again. And so they had an NG tube down me. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's like goes through the nose and into the stomach. So you can barely, it's a horrible thing. Mr. Liu calls me on the phone and says, he thinks he wants to cancel because he doesn't know if he's going to make any money. I said, Mr. Liu, I guarantee you, you're going to make money. I didn't know he would or not, but the words rang true. So I did what Tom Hopkins says, which is to get what we call them street reports. So basically, I have every street mapped out among 16,174 of my favorite friends throughout Carmel Valley. And I walk down the street based on the way I'm walking down the street. So I have this database that I've been putting together notes on for all these years. I have people that call me that said, you knocked on my door 17 years ago. And I was so impressed with you, you know, I'd like to sell my home.
Let's say I'm an agent and I'm driving in my car right now. And by the way, if you are an agent and you're driving in your car right now, don't take notes. I take the notes. You just listen. And then if you go to MREANotes.com, enter in your info, you'll get the notes for this show. So walk me through this, Richard. So step one is pick my area. So what's important about the area that I pick? What are the do's and don'ts?
Who cares?
I love that answer.
Just get out and knock on doors and talk to people. Get in front of people. Do what Gary says. Same thing I do today. 3 to 4 hours a day. Get out and talk to people for 3 to 4 hours a day. Talk about real estate. So I was afraid at the time that people wouldn't want to see me again if I asked them if they wanted to buy or sell real estate. So it was just kind of like, I'm the neighborhood guy, blah, 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 blah. And honestly, for almost 24 years, I never asked anybody if they wanted to buy or sell real estate. I just talk to them and say, yeah, hey, I'm the expert around here. This is what's going on. You know, thanks a lot. See you again another time next door. So I'm on stage with Gary 14 years ago. This is my 14th year of being at Keller. They invited me on stage and I never knew why at the time because I'd only made about $600,000 the year before. I'm wondering if I'm up here for $600,000, everybody else is sucking air. That's what I thought, honestly. So he got up there. So he asked me what I do. And I kind of talked about it. And I said, I don't ask. And Gary looked over at me on the stage and said, why don't you ask them if they want to buy or sell real estate? I said, well, because I'd be afraid they'd say no, that they wouldn't want to see me. Well, I started asking them. Gary had me back on stage a year later. I had 216 leads by the time I came back the next year. From asking people, you knock on the door, you say, hi. Hi, it's Richard. Just sold another one. Hi, it's Richard. Just listed another one. Hi, it's Richard. This is the latest of what's happened in the neighborhood. Have you heard rumors of anyone else thinking about making a move, right? And they're always going to stand at the door and kind of look and say, no. Yeah, you know, that's our problem, right? In the next couple of years, you guys ever thought about making a move? Well, if you were to move, where would you go next? When would that be? Then if they say, well, we might think about it in 3 years. Great. Could I check back with you? They thinking you're going to knock on their door again. They say, yeah, great. Oh, then you look down at your clipboard. You say, great. What's a good number to reach at? And you don't look up.
I'm going to play the part of every agent driving. But in order to do that, I have to tell you, if you're thinking that this leads to marginal success, you would be wrong. Richard, how many homes did you sell last year?
We keep track of volume. The last 3 years, we've done $240 million.
Great. And how many days did you work?
135 days last year, but I've cut it down to 100 this year.
So. You hear that? We're talking about 100 days a year.
Yeah.
And how many hours do you knock on doors when you do work?
3 to 4 hours every day.
So, okay, I get it. He makes it sound like completely effortless, as if like not having a system is the system. But when you really dig into Richard's business, there is a genius in the simplicity, but there is still a few steps. Step number one is selecting the geographic area. Now, I know Richard just said, "Does Jason, it doesn't matter where you go." But I want you to stop. I want you to think about this. This is going to be an area where you're going to be walking 3 to 4 hours a day. So think about the geography. Is it uphill or is it downhill? Think about the homes. Do you enjoy being in that community? Think about driving to and from every day. Pick an area that you want to spend time in. Step number two, as you're about to go out and actually talk to people, you got to do the research. You need to understand what's happening in that area. You may even choose to print out a list of the active properties and a list of the sold properties, so you can literally hand somebody a valuable document when they do answer the doors. And by the way, if you're going to talk real estate, you need to know the language of real estate. This means that you are the expert. And step number three, friends, there's no getting around it. If you're running this model, you're going to actually have to knock on the doors. Remember, Richard's working a 3 to 4 hour block. During that time, he's walking 6,000 to 10,000 steps, and he is literally deepening his relationship with every door that he knocks on. It's only three steps. But they might just be three steps to run the most profitable and powerful lead generation model that we have documented in a long time. Friends, give this a go.
Listen, you don't want to be attached to the outcome. Never be attached to it. Just get out, do what you're supposed to do, and everything else will work out.
There's a simplicity about what you're doing, but there's a human element to what you're doing. You're outside in the sun, you're walking around, you're talking to people. Do you feel like you're at work ever?
No, I really enjoy it. I look forward to getting out there every morning. I'm only going to work 100 days, so I might as well get out, do my best. If I don't do my best, I'm not going to hit my goals. I want to hit my goals. Gary always talks about the fact that you money is good for the good it can do for others. And you can never have too much money if you're willing to give it all away. Well, I'm willing to give it all away. And I'm really want to magnify my stewardship on this earth to see how many people I can help before I leave this earth. That pushes me.
Richard, how old are you?
77. I'm coming up to be 77 here.
The last time that we spoke, I asked you, do you still set long-term goals? And you looked at me like I was crazy for asking.
Oh, of course. Oh, yeah.
Goals still show up in your life. Why? Why does it matter at 77 years old?
Okay, so next week, I'm going to Carmel. Then I come back from Carmel for a week. I'm going on a photo trip starting in Florence for 17 days with my car, just with my camera. My wife lets me go take photographs. And I've already picked out all my restaurants and things through Tuscany. Come back, work for 6 days, knock on some doors, come back, go back to Rome and Amalfi and go to the Amalfi Coast to take my wife with me. So I love that area. But all those things are planned out. They're all planned out. I got my calendar on the back. I don't know if I'd mentioned it, but I have a great big calendar in my closet, and I've got all of my playtime all marked out. I have 21 trips a year on my playtime, and then I have my pay time around the playtime, as Gary taught me. And I go into that closet every morning. I love looking at that wall. Man, look at that. This is where I'm going. This is where I'm doing. This is why I'm knocking on doors.
Yeah, no, you wake up every day driven for the experiences that you want to bring into your life. I love that.
Sure. Listen, as we're going to talk about, I go on 21 trips a year. I travel all over the world. I do photography. I'm a very serious photographer. So I want everybody to hear this because I have a website called ralanstone.org. I take photographs, I sell the photographs, and I give all the profits to charity. So that's my purposefulness in other vacations. The other time I just go to eat because I like to eat.
That's so good. So you don't wake up thinking about the day you're going to retire. You don't wake up wondering if you have enough money to retire. These are foreign ideas for you.
Okay. So Gary says that the definition of a wealthy individual is someone that has the unearned income to fund their purpose in life. I have a purpose and I have the unearned income. What I make knocking on doors is, pay some of my expenses. And my son's my partner. I couldn't do it without my son. And what am I going to do to him? He's going to tell me, well, you go out and knock on doors. I'm not going to do it today. Speed of the boss is the speed of the crew.
So when you look back, Richard, on a life well lived, from service to your country, to service to your fellow parishioners, to service to the communities that you serve, mentor me for a minute. Mentor everyone out there and give us, as you look back, is there a little advice on life that you'd share with people that are in their 20s, 30s, 40s, all in different places in the journey?
If you don't know where you're going, you're never going to get there. Fail your way to success. We're a spiritual being on an earthly journey. that all resonates with me very strongly because it's true.
But I'll just say this, Richard, it's a life well lived, my friend.
Well, thank you. I'm continuing to live it. We can talk backwards when I'm 107.
I have a date in my calendar for your 119th birthday. We are
good. All right.
All right. We want to enter the lightning round, Richard. The lightning round, we ask you a series of questions. We want the first thing that comes to your mind. Okay.
Okay.
What's your favorite color?
Red.
What's your favorite food?
Anything Italian.
Stop the lightning round. It's all so good. Yeah. How can you choose? You can't.
I know.
Is there a book that you think every agent should have on the shelf?
Absolutely. The Greatest Salesman in the World by Og Mandino.
It's a great book.
The Greatest Salesman in the World. I've read that for 50 years. I saw Og Mandino in person just before he died in Colorado Springs. I went to a talk. I was sitting in the front row. This is a very interesting thing I can share with you. And he said, okay, I want a couple of people to come on stage that cannot read without their glasses. So we had a couple of people come up stage and he says, okay, and said, tried the first person. Yeah, they could read if they really looked hard. The next person absolutely couldn't read anything. He says, okay. So he goes over, he has a little piece of paper and he puts a pinhole in the piece of paper. And he says, now put that pinhole with the piece of paper between your eyes and the newspaper and see if you can read. And he could read. Why could he read? Because he focused.
Ah.
He focused. As Gary says, you know, get yourself a magnifying glass and start the biggest fire possible.
So good. Last question for me, Richard, and you're one of the few I'm asking it to. You've been everywhere. Where is the best vacation spot? And I know you're going to want to name 80 different places. You get to pick one for those of us that are planning a trip this year.
Well, I was in Nice about 3 weeks ago, and I was at Cap Ferrat. And I would say some hotel at Cap Ferrat didn't have enough money to stay at that hotel, but I was having some Perrier on the shelf, and I was looking like I had a lot of money, you know, and it was so neat. I would say that's one of my favorite spots. I would also say Jackson Hole, Wyoming in the winter is phenomenal. Gelato in Florence.
All right, I let you pick one. You managed to get in four. Friends, this is Richard Stone. Richard, thank you for everything that you've done for the industry, the shoulders that you have that so many of us have stood on, the hours of mentorship that you've given the young bucks like me coming in, the work that you do in and out of classrooms to help people. I just want you to know how grateful we are.
Thank you. But I've got to say one quick thing before I go. Gary Keller has changed my life. I love Gary Keller. You guys have no idea. I've been around so many people in the business that didn't know what they were doing, or if they knew what they were always preaching something and never doing it themselves. He's so much the real deal. I so enjoy his sincerity, his honesty, his willingness to say, this is what I do. This is who I am. We are so lucky to have him, to be associated with him. I mean, his quantum leap has been a game changer, just a game changer. And he's a really good human being, we're lucky.
This is where you'll get no argument from me. That was Richard Stone. This is the MREA Podcast. There it is. Print it. Another one in the books. Friends, what do you even say about Richard Stone? A friend to the real estate industry since 1973, 77 years old and still making long-term goals. I mean, when you listen to him and you listen to the way that he talks about people and the way that he talks about relationships and the way that he talks about the industry, here's what I hear. I hear this romance. And it's a romance that harkens back to a simpler time. When you just looked up and you were good to people. Everybody was your neighbor and you walked through life that way. Now, sure, Richard is guided by his faith, which he talks about. And for some of us, that's more prevalent than it is for others. But here's what I walk away every time I meet with Richard thinking. This is a life well lived. And when you say it, you can confuse the idea. Because it almost makes it sound like he's done with it. When you listen to him, you realize he is just getting started. In jest, I said, Richard, we'll talk again when you're 119. Friends, I wouldn't be shocked if we actually make that episode. This is a great man. What makes him great isn't his financial accomplishments, although numerous. It isn't the fact that he has started this business and brought the next generation into it, although awesome. And it isn't even the fact that he wakes up every day on this mission. What makes him great is the perspective that he can provide to all of us. Because think about how the world has changed since 1973 to today. and understand that he's been running the same model since then. And understand that his life, his relationships, and his business have been enriched year over year over year because of one simple premise. I care and I connect with people. Could it really be that simple? Go forth and do likewise. There it is. That wraps another episode. Friends, I don't know what you're taking out of this. I really don't. I'll tell you what I want you to be taking out of it, which is these are the people that are having tremendously big lives. And the reason it's happening is because they're setting up the models and systems to do just that. Gary Keller told me that leadership is teaching people how to think so that they do the things they need to do when they need to do them, so that ultimately they get the things they want when they want to have them. And that's what I want for you. You're all leaders, but it begins with leading ourselves. If you're enjoying this podcast, I want you to click the subscribe button anywhere that you get your podcasts. We want to be the voice in your head every single week. And every week we're dropping new content. We also send out a newsletter at the conclusion of every show to make sure that you get the highest points and the models and systems that were discussed. So if you want to sign up, I need your name and your email address. Head over to themillionaireagentpodcast.com. Millionaireagentpodcast.com. Enter your name and your email address, and every week that newsletter will be in your box. Friends, you just went on a journey. I hope that what happens between now and the next time we meet is absolutely wonderful for you. Thanks for listening. I'll see you next week.
This podcast is for general informational purposes only. The views, thoughts, and opinions of the guest represent those of the guest and not KWRI and its affiliates, and should not be construed as financial, economic, legal, tax, or other advice. This podcast is provided without any warranty or guarantee of its accuracy, completeness, timeliness, or results from using the information. Warning. You must comply with the TCPA and any other federal, state, or local laws, including for B2B calls and texts. Never call or text a number on any do not call list, and do not use an auto dialer or artificial voice or pre-recorded messages without proper consent. Contact your attorney to ensure your compliance.